freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo as long as we are led by politicians who will not put America first. Then we can be assured that other nations will not treat America with respect, the respect that we deserve.
And GOP Josh is a young conservative influencer with a lot of power.
You're listening to the voice of the future, fighting for America every day. This is the Conservative Crusader. And here's your host, GOP Josh.
Hello and welcome. Sounds good saying that. This mic is hot and we are live here on the Conservative Crusader, GOPJosh.com. And probably the most eventful couple weeks in politics in recent history. And I have been MIA in the process. Let me give you some justification here, because I feel a need to justify my absence. So I'm in this little business called politics, where I go to events, preferably more than once a week, and I would probably do more if I was, you know, an adult. I'm helping candidates win, doing my best to do whatever I can do to help candidates win. And so that takes a lot of time, a lot of effort. This show takes a lot of time, a lot of effort. And it's just a lot to try to do and balance everything. And I prepare a show. I have enough content to do probably three shows a day or 3 hours a day, like every other talk radio host. But my actual physical time is not quite that accessible to be able to do that much time and effort into this. So I have to say, unfortunately, the show kind of takes a back seat sometimes as we're moving forward into the actual political atmosphere that is the March 19th primary here in Ohio, doing everything I can to help some good candidates win. And so this show will happen when it can, and it won't happen when it cannot. But my top up-to-the-date commentary is available on my X page at GOPJosh20, and you can follow me over there to get what you need to see and all the content there you need to check out. So let's hop into the news, because I don't want to waste any more time. Brought to you by our Patreon supporters over at patreon.gopjosh.com. So let's talk about this special counsel report, shall we? Because Biden came through, and by the way, you can call in if you're on X Spaces. We'll get you on. Just queue up the space where you can use our phone number. That's 57GOPJosh7. Biden angrily pushes back at special counsel report that questioned his memory handling of documents. He says it's not true. And now, obviously, this is older news, but I still want to give some commentary on this. A special counsel report released last Thursday found evidence that President Joe Biden willfully retained and shared highly classified information when he was a private citizen, including about military and foreign policy in Afghanistan, but concluded that criminal charges were not warranted. The report from Special Counsel Robert Hur resolves a criminal investigation that has shadowed Biden's presidency for the last year, but its bitingly critical assessment of his handling of sensitive information records and unflattering characterizations of his memory will spark fresh questions about his competency and age that cut at voters' most deep-seated concerns about his candidacy for re-election. In remarks at the White House Thursday evening, Biden denied that he improperly shared classified information and angrily lashed out at Hur for questioning his mental acuity, particularly his recollection for the timing of his late son Beau's death from cancer, declining the AP newsletter. The searing findings were almost certainly blunt his effort to draw contrast with Donald Trump, Biden's likely opponent in November, over a criminal indictment charging the former president with illegally hoarding classified records at his Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida and refusing to return them to the government. Despite abundant differences in this case, Trump immediately seized on the special counsel report to betray himself as a victim of the two-tiered system of justice. Yet even as Herr found evidence that Biden willfully held on to and shared with a ghostwriter highly classified information, the special counsel devoted much of his report to explaining why he did not believe the evidence met the standard for criminal charges, including a high probability that the Justice Department would not be able to prove Biden's intent beyond a reasonable doubt, citing, among other things, an advanced age that they said made him forgetful and possibly of innocent explanations for the records that they could not refute. So what does this say exactly? Because it's a lot of words, a lot of names, a lot of details. Pretty much how I'm reading it and how people are reading it is Biden has committed the same thing Trump did. Biden actually willingly shared classified information to write a better memoir that he didn't actually write. But because he is mentally senile, he is not capable enough to stand trial. That's how I'm reading this. Is our president of the United States is not mentally capable enough to stand trial. And I think it's really notable when Biden is talking about the president of Egypt and says the president of Mexico 90 seconds after saying he is mentally capable. Do we have the cut? We don't have the cut. We don't have any cuts today. Cool. He pretty much said the president of Mexico, El Sisi, who is the president of Egypt when talking about the Middle East. But hey, he thinks of Mexico. Maybe that means the border's on his mind, but I doubt it. I'm concerned that this is the situation we have in the White House, that we have someone who is actually physically not capable of serving as president. So he can't capable. He's not capable of standing trial, but he can serve as president. How does that work? Not mentally capable enough to stand trial, cannot be found guilty, but he can be president. So where do people step in? The 25th Amendment, and say, hey, you probably should not be serving as president because you're not mentally capable. I wish we had the clip from Project Veritas, or not Project, O'Keefe Media, where they went in and said, hey, by the way, we know Biden's senile. I mean, that was a blatant statement made by someone who works in the White House to O'Keefe. Said, hey, yeah, we know he has dementia, but, you know, it's not our top priority. Our top priority is stopping Donald Trump. They're willing to stop and do anything they can to stop Donald Trump, including, you know, running someone who is mentally senile and should not be running the country. And that just, that blows my mind that that's our two-tiered justice system. Because if it was Trump, it would be a completely different scenario. We'll get to Trump later. But because it's Biden and he does things like this.
The conduct of the quiet response in the Gaza Strip has been over the top. I think that, as you know, initially, the president of Mexico, Sisi, did not want to open up the gate to allow humanitarian material to get in.
That's our president. That's the guy in the Oval Office running the country. What a good situation. That's why it's incredibly vital we win in 2024, and we need to win big. That's why you need to support President Trump, your local Republican Party that's actually doing good things. If you're in a good county or a good state with a good Republican Party, support your state party, because they're more likely, especially if you're like in Ohio here. I'm not encouraging you to donate to the Ohio Republican Party by any means, but especially if you're in Ohio, supporting, or not in Ohio, but around the country, supporting good parties that are going to help the candidate, and also support President Trump, obviously, directly. So, I mean, that's what we need to do, is support Republicans, support our nominee, support our guy, Donald Trump. And that's going to be a different scenario, right? And we're going to actually win. Again, we're going to outbeat the fraud. I don't see them, and I know I'm saying this, and I'm probably going to jinx it, and this clip's going to be taken out of context in 5 months. I don't see another COVID. I just don't imagine they're going to pop up with another COVID. But I would not be surprised if they do something to try to stop Trump and have some sort of October surprise that stops the election if Trump is still winning by such a high margin. When we return from the commercial break, we're going to discuss 90% of Americans. They all agree on something. 9 out of every 10 Americans agree on something. Also, the White House is refusing a cognitive test for Joe Biden. We'll be back after this. You're listening to the Conservative Crusader, GOPJosh.com.
You're listening to the Conservative Crusader. This is the Conservative Crusader.
Welcome back. This is the Conservative Crusader. Appreciate you all hopping on with us tonight, listening in wherever you are in the nation. We greatly appreciate it. Our phone number, 574-675-6747 and 57-GOP-JOSH-7. You can send us an email, my personal email, josh@GOPJosh.com. By the way, for those listening to the show and you want to get a candidate or a guest on the show, do not message me on LinkedIn. That's obnoxious. If you DM me, I probably won't see it. Send an email, josh@GOPJosh.com. I check my email, even all those stupid TYT Young Turks emails I've been signed up for. I read those, and I hate them, but they're signed up in my inbox, so I read them. So if you want to get a candidate on the show, josh@GOPJosh.com. A lot easier than trying to manage my DMs, because I have right now, I opened my DMs when I started the show at 5:45 p.m. recording. In 15 minutes, I have 12 unread messages already, and that's in different chats. So as soon as you send something, it's going to get buried to the bottom. So just take that with a grain of salt. Josh@GOPJosh.com. Nearly 90% of Americans think Biden is too old to serve another term as president, and that's a poll brought to you by the Daily Caller News Foundation and those who allow me to read the Daily Caller through our Patreon page, because I have to pay for that. An overwhelming majority of Americans believe President Joe Biden is too old to serve another term following the release of a special counsel report that described him as a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory, a Sunday poll found. Robert Herr's report declined to pursue criminal charges against Biden in the classified documents investigation, but detailed how interviewers questioned the president's mental capacity. An ABC News IPOS survey found that 86% of Americans believe Biden is too old ahead of the 2024 election, compared to 62% who say the same of Donald Trump. Biden is already the oldest president in history, would be 86 years old by the end of his second term. While the former president is currently 77, only 3% of Americans viewed only Trump as too old, compared to 27% who said the same of Biden, according to the poll. Now, for those who say I'm a paid Trump shill and I just get paid to say kind things about Trump, if you consider X revenue, maybe. But I'm not a paid Trump shill, of course, and I'm going to say this here. Ideally, we would have a 45 or 50-year-old person to run that's like Donald Trump. Ideally, Trump himself would be 45 years old and just permanently 45. That's not how this works, obviously. So the question here is, are we going to run an 86-year-old man, or it will be 86, that actually has cognitive decline that we've seen? And we'll discuss that in the next segment here, in the next article. Or are we going to run a proven conservative that actually got stuff done during his term with everything, the whole world against him? President Trump was able to get something done. And compare the two. How can you even compare Joe Biden and Donald Trump at this point? I mean, they are completely and totally different. I respect the president, the current president that should not be president, for his service to this country. But I seriously do not know how you can even say that his cognitive ability is anything like that of Donald Trump. Trump's going on stage doing massive rallies all the time, all over the country, traveling a lot, in trial all the time, doing anything he can to just kind of fight for this country. You know, that's what he's doing. Biden is barely campaigning, barely doing anything. He is, when he goes to a press conference. He's there for 10 minutes, starts whispering at the press, saying he was too senile because he called on one of them. I mean, this is not the same scenario. This is not the same situation. And this is not even close to being comparable. I mean, seriously, comparing Joe Biden to Donald Trump is like comparing, I don't know, the Carolina Panthers to the Chiefs, if you want to play it like football. I mean, Trump is seriously the top of his game. Probably not ever. I wouldn't say ever. But, you know, he's very high up there in what he's able to do right now. And he's doing a great job campaigning, a great job for the American people. And he will do a great job in office again. I wish he was younger. I wish he was 45 forever. But that's obviously not how this works. And 90%, 86% of Americans, that's rounding up to 90. That's 9 out of every 10 Americans. Remember the dentist commercials were like 9 out of 10 dentists recommend this toothbrush. 9 out of 10 Americans say Biden is too senile to serve in office and too old to serve again. So take that how you will. Now, if Biden is mentally capable, if he is the belle of the ball, as they all like to say, he is mentally capable, he is top of his game, the best he's ever been, he is totally willing and able and ready to serve another term, then why is the White House refusing a cognitive test as part of the upcoming physical? This is from the National Pulse News Foundation and Raheem Kassam's operation, even though he disrespected me by going against SpongeBob SquarePants, which is my top show in my childhood. The White House refuses Biden cognitive test as part of upcoming physical. White House Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre confirmed Monday that Joe Biden will not receive a cognitive test during his upcoming physical exam, despite increasing concerns about the 81-year-old's mental faculties. I'm just going to say what Dr. O'Connor said to me about a year ago when Biden's physical was released. The president proves every day how he operates and how he thinks by dealing with world leaders, by making difficult decisions on behalf of the American people, whether it's domestic or national security. So I think, remember here, when Trump actually had to do a mental test, man, person, woman, man, or man, person, camera, TV, whatever it was. And he actually went through it and did the test, passed with flying colors. So I don't understand why Biden's not capable of doing the same. I don't know. I just find it weird, especially when they say he's the most mentally competent person ever, and he is the best president and the most capable and all this nonsense. Last week, we already went over the story with the cognitive test with the special counsel. Biden also told a crowd that he spoke with deceased French President François Mitterrand and deceased German Chancellor Helmut Kohl at the G7 summit. Immediately following the release of HERS report, Biden also appeared to imply that Mexico borders Gaza. So if they're not having him do the cognitive test, are they afraid of what exactly? Because if you're the president of the United States and you can't identify an elephant and a giraffe on a piece of paper, should you really be serving as president? And I wish we could get leftists on this show. They refuse to do this program. I don't know why. And we have a crazy audience. But they won't do this show. I want to ask a leftist, how are you able to defend Joe Biden and still say that Trump is ineligible from office because of insurrectionism charges? Yeah, okay. Trump might have had supporters that went to the Capitol on January 6th, right? That happened, right? We all saw it happen on national TV. They did not insurrect anything. It was a riot more than it was an insurrection. And I wonder how much of that riot was sent by the feds. But really, I would much rather prefer a very mundane, very boring insurrection that didn't insurrect anything, that wasn't successful, than I would a president that is literally senile and will not take a mental cognitive test. It's not too much to ask. I don't think having a mentally capable president is too much to ask. And maybe Trump might not even be the best, right? Ideally, as I said earlier, someone younger. I would like to be, you know, president one day. I doubt it'll ever happen. I don't have that kind of money. But I would like to have that opportunity. I hope it's not when I'm 80 years old, because I believe I'm mentally capable now a whole lot more than I will be in 80 years. 73 years, right? 63 years? Whichever one. Well, maybe that writes me off. And I would much have rather seen Trump when he was talking about the issues in the 90s than now, right? Preferably. But we're going to take him when we can get him. And I'm not going to go after Trump. He's doing the right stuff. He's going to do good. And if he does something wrong that I dislike, I'm going to call him out for it. But I'm not going to back Nikki Haley because she's younger. I think the only reason anyone backs her is because they hate Trump. And hating Trump is a loser ideology. So when we return, we've got a lot more news and content to get to. Obviously, I've been gone for quite some time, and I apologize for that. Kamala Harris says she is ready to serve. And also, Biden uses fake names and emails. I didn't know he was able to use an email for official business. Right back after this, you're listening to The Conservative Crusader, GOPJosh.com, brought to you by Fiverr, Fiverr.GOPJosh.com.
You're listening to The Conservative Crusader. This is The Conservative Crusader.
You're listening to the voice of the future, GOPJosh.com, 17-year-old conservative commentator, national political figure, political consultant, operative, media operative, whatever you want to call it. Follow me all over on Twitter, formerly Twitter, now currently X, if you want to call it that, X, at GOPJosh20. And I love Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, because I love being able to open up the platform and having enough content for 6 days worth of programs on one thread. And I found one of those just by opening up the show. So there's this guy. I'm not super familiar with him. Apparently, he works for the Trump, or he used to work for the Trump campaign. Cannot confirm or deny either one of those. Doctor, not sure where his doctor it's from. Dr. Daryl Scott. He's an Ohioan. Fellow Ohioan. Not really sure where his... Oh, he's an honorary doctor, so he's not actually a doctor. Okay. Well, he uses the term doctor. Daryl Scott is a former Trump administration, or not Trump, but a Trump campaign advisor, been close with Trump since 2011, and he is posting on Twitter today, because we know about the Black National Anthem that happened during the Super Bowl. By the way, Reba's National Anthem was fantastic, but that's besides the point. Daryl Scott, a lot of people, and I'm not calling him doctor, a lot of people that have a big problem with the idea of two national anthems have no problem embracing two national flags, referring to the Confederate flag, which is such not a 2024 issue, which I see why he was part of the 2016 campaign. And the thing is, he's talking about this in disrespecting voters on Twitter. So he said here, someone said, maybe you should be supporting Nikki Haley instead of Donald Trump. Last I checked, she was all worried about wokeness. He replied, maybe you need to STFU, which means shut the... Do we have the bleep button? We don't have a bleep button. Yes, we do. Where's the bleep button? We have the shut the up. How about that to a voter? I'm guessing he's a YouTuber, apparently. Not sure how successful that is. Oh, it's about 2,000 followers. Good stuff. He said... Then he said, everything I don't like is woke. So I'm confused how this is a top issue for the Trump administration or Trump campaign in 2024 and this advisor of the Trump campaign. And someone said, apples to oranges. The flag you have pictured is not a national flag. And he's literally called it. And he said, and lift every voice is not the national anthem. Yet he called both of those a national anthem and the national flag. Never heard Lift Every Voice. I want to see how much I can get through this without cringing. Just for reaction purposes. Do we have the audio? Here we...
Send a Sing, performed by Grammy Award-winning recording artist Andra Day.
Voice
I see everyone in the back sitting. I'm guessing it's not that impressive then. That wasn't even on the show plan today, but I opened Twitter and saw the Confederate flag, and that always sparks my interest as to what we're going to talk about next. So why ever he's talking about that in 2024, I'll never know. But that burned a lot of time. I apologize for that. I just had to discuss that. Kamala Harris says she's ready to serve as Democrats sound the alarm on Biden's age. Vice President Kamala Harris says she is ready to serve as concerns over President Biden's age and mental fitness continue to grow, notably among members of their own party. This is from Fox News. Harris made the statement during a recent interview last week before Tuesday's release of Special Counsel Robert Hur's report on Biden's mishandling of classified documents. She said, "I am ready to serve. There's no question about that. Everyone who observes her work walks away fully aware of my capacity to lead. I don't think she has a capacity to talk, let alone lead." So she's going to be the choice. And I know people are saying it's going to be Michelle Obama, or it's going to be, you know, what's his name? Gavin Newsom. I mean, this is who we have. This is not the right clip.
To put it in.
Oh, women are getting pregnant. That's the clip. Okay, that's not the right clip. She wants to be the choice. Right? She wants to be the person that's going to be the next nominee. It's not going to be Michelle Obama. If it is Michelle Obama, I will eat a bar of soap. Probably not, actually. That sounds disgusting. But you know what I'm trying to say. I really don't believe Michelle Obama is going to be the choice. I just don't see it happening. I also don't see Gavin Newsom. I don't think you can go publicly on Fox News and say, I'm not going to be my party's nominee, just like Ron DeSantis, and then be your party's nominee, even if you're appointed, sort of lifted up during the convention. I really do think it's going to be Joe Biden, and then after he wins, he's going to serve 2 years, resign, and then pass the torch to Kamala Harris, try to give her 2 years that she can run on in 2028, and she'll be the choice in 2028. But you're not going to completely wipe out the current incumbent ticket like that with like a snap, right? That's not how it's going to work. So you're going to have to look at this and seriously think, okay, America, we're going into the crossroads, that the, as John Kasich said, there's two ways where the nation's at the crossroads, or whatever it was at the start of his DNC speech. Let's see if I have the clip of that still saved here.
We make as individuals. America is at a crossroads.
We are sometimes at a crossroads, John Kasich. Do you want President Trump, or do you want a loser? Do you want Kamala Harris to be our president, or do you want someone who is capable to lead, who can actually speak English all the time? And I personally want Trump, obviously, but I hate this as the entire topic of the show today. We've been gone for so long, and we're talking about Kamala Harris, of all people. But I really don't see a path for... Oh, we're getting obnoxious notifications. Sorry about that. I don't see a path for Kamala Harris to not be the nominee. Whether 24 or 28, she will be the nominee at one point in time or another. And I'm just... She's so easy to beat. It's just trying to get over the racism accusations. Because Republicans, they say they don't matter and, oh, I'll be called a racist. But when that actually happens, they're like, oh, I'm not a racist. They just flee. Like, no, we like the better candidate. Well, she's a black. Okay. I like the better candidate. Well, she's a black. Well, I like the better candidate. Right. And so let's move on here a little bit. And I'm kind of all over the place. I apologize. My mind is scattered doing a million different things. Haven't done a show in so long. I'm not used to doing this anymore. So I apologize if I sound a little amateur behind the microphone. So as early as 2010, Joe Biden routinely used a private email account with a fake name to conduct official business as vice president, and at times copied his sons and brother on exchanges that included some of the highest-ranking officials inside the White House. This is from Just the News, John Solomon's operation. The National Archives and Records Administration released this month to the Southeastern Law Legal Foundation, a public interest law firm, only about 60 emails of the 82,000 pages they say it preserved from Joe Biden's private pseudonym email accounts from his time as vice president. The records were produced pursuant to a FOIA request prompted by Just the News 3 years ago that revealed Biden used at least 3 different pseudonym private email accounts when he was Barack Obama's vice president. All the emails of the initial release involved a Google account during that time that Joe Biden called robinware456@gmail.com and were sent in the calendar year 2010. The emails that were disclosed pursuant to a FOIA lawsuit shows that Biden conducted official White House business on his private commercial email account, including receiving copies of speeches, drafts of speeches, and news articles he wanted to discuss with his senior staff. In one such email, he transmitted an unflattering news article about his boss, Barack Obama, to Anthony Blinken. The article in Politico was titled, "The Ego Factor, Can Barack Obama Change?" and was sent to Blinken's official White House email account. Joe Biden would send information to the government emails on his White House staff from his personal email account, including and includes his son Hunter and Beau and James in the newly released emails. In 2010, October, the then vice president sent an article from the New York Times about planned House GOP budget cuts to a half dozen of his top staff, Ron Klain, Jane Carney, Hunter Biden, Beau Biden, brother James. Neither his son or his brother had any official capacity to act or advise upon those proposed budget cuts. As significant portions of the email released in the document production were redacted by the archives, which cited personal information and Presidential Record Act exemptions, the archives said that it plans to keep private communication from public release, including those Joe Biden had with his son and brother. So what is it with Democrats and fake emails? That's all I'm going to say. Don't really have a lot of time for commentary. I kind of got derailed earlier, but we're going to be right back with the Ohio segment. We're going to talk House Bill 6 again. Already back in the news. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to The Voice of the Future, GOPJosh.com, brought to you by our Fiverr friends, FIVERR.GOPJosh.com.
You're listening to The Conservative Crusader.
Of Michigan, President Trump will be delivering a speech in Michigan at the Elite Jet Center, 1675 Airport Road, Waterford, on the 17th. And I'm the 17th of this month at 7 p.m. I'm totally not putting into my maps right now how far that is from my current location. It's 5 hours from Columbus. 5 hours for a Trump rally. Ooh. I don't know. Anyway, so let's talk about the news here. I had to get to that. It sounds like a lot of fun. It's like 4 hours from Columbus. Anyway. A federal judge blocks Ohio law that would limit kids' use of social media. It was part of signed in by the budget. A federal judge extended a block on enforcement Monday of an Ohio law that would require children under 16 to get parental consent to use social media apps as a legal challenge proceeds. U.S. District Court Judge Algin Marbley, that sounds like a fake name, decision to grant a preliminary injunction prevents the law from taking effect while a lawsuit filed earlier this month by NetChoice winds its way through court. NetChoice is a group representing TikTok, Snapchat, Meta, and other major tech companies. The group is fighting the law as overly broad, vague, and an unconstitutional impediment to free speech. The law originally was set to take effect January 15th and is similar to ones enacted in other states, including California and Arkansas, where NetChoice has won lawsuits. In his decision, Marbley said NetChoice is likely to prevail on its First Amendment speech freedom arguments. There is no indication that the state disfavors the sort of content designed to appeal to children, cartoons, and the like. Website that children might access is not a topic of subject matter. Indeed, although its covered platforms such as subject matter likely to appeal to children, also most also contain subject matter as diverse as human thought. So why is it that weirdos really, really want to give kids access to social media? Now, I can't say a lot on this because I was young when I started. You can see my Twitter page. I think I was 12 when it was open. Don't tell Elon Musk. But I really think that in most scenarios where there's not really a lot of parental guidance on what's going on social media, that there should be stops going on. And if if parents had to think, even for a second, about who was going to actually be on the social media account, I think they would stop it and actually say, hey, no, you can't have TikTok. You can't have Instagram. You can't have whatever it is. I mean, especially the TikTok in China with the Temu or whatever it's called that had the six Super Bowl commercials last night. I mean, they're taking your information and they're using it in dirty ways. Because you're not telling me a account where you can buy $6 fake, or website where you can buy $6 fake Yeezy slides, right, is going to be safeguarding your information enough to where they can somehow just happen to manage and find the ability to buy a Super Bowl commercial, right? And it wasn't, it was like a 30 second. Here's the, can we play part of it just for fun?
Feels like a dream, feels like magic.
It's so loud. It's a high budget commercial. So where are they getting the money for this kind of stuff? Because they're obviously not. They're selling like 99-cent fake stuff. And what does it have to do with your kids and getting on social media and selling them information? Just a thought. So, House Bill 6 is obviously the biggest scandal in probably Ohio political history. Ohio law enforcement authorities on Monday filed numerous felony charges against two former First Energy executives and a former top utility regulator in what has been called the biggest bribery and money laundering scandal in Ohio history. Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost announced scores of felony charges against a former regulator who has also been charged federally and against two people who have not. Former top executives for Akron-based First Energy, whom the company admitted paid more than $60 million in bribes between 2016 and 2020 in exchange for a $1.3 billion ratepayer bailout, charged were Sam Randazzo, former chairman of the Public Utilities Commission, already facing felony charges in federal court. The state indictment charged him with 22 more. Former First Energy CEO Chuck Jones and Vice President Michael Dowling, they're facing 22 felony charges similar to those faced by Randazzo. So Randazzo is the only person to be charged twice, like in both scenarios. Larry Householder is serving a 20-year prison sentence. He is on running for an appeal. Getting Patriot Caucus wire from our friend listening in on X Spaces. Yeah, Timu does use slaves. Okay, that makes sense. I still don't know where they got $8 million from, but it's China. It's kind of what they do. I hate to say it. So this House Bill 6 is really interesting because there's so many people that were still in the state house then that are in it because of Larry Householder that are involved in this. I mean, it's a deep, deep swampy thing. I note that House Bill 6 still has not been repealed. It is still on the books. The bailout has been, but the rest of the bill hasn't. And in a formality, it is still on the books. It is still a law in the Ohio Revised Code in the state of Ohio. So the question remains, what's going to take them and actually make them do it and actually do something about it and stop this scenario and stop this from or fix this somehow? Not sure why it's taking so long. But I'm not unsurprised. And the last time the Democrats teamed up with the Republicans to win the speaker vote, it was with Larry Householder, who's now serving federal prison. And now we're having a serious conversation about whether or not we reelect people who sided with the Democrats this time so we can have another situation like this. I mean, it has been unbiasedly described as the most corrupt state house in the nation, being Ohio, especially with House Bill 6. And there's still indictments coming down. There's still stuff going down. And I'm trying to remember the name of the organization. The Ohio organization that is, I'll do this real quick. Sorry about that. The state house wing of their party that's backing the Blue 22 is just insane. But, you know, we'll see where it goes. I really want to see House Bill 6 taken out, and anyone who voted for it out of the state house, And also, whoever needs to be charged, charged. So that's going to be it for the show tonight. We are ending out the first show back in a while, so it feels good. If you enjoyed the show, make sure you rate 5 stars, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the places. Support our sponsors over on patreon.com/GOPJosh is one of them, patreon.com/GOPJosh, or our Fiverr link, which is the world's largest marketplace and offers both buyers and sellers a digitally streamlined transactional platform over on fiverr.gopjosh.com. That's fiverr, fiverr.gopjosh.com. We will see you all very soon. Until then, my friends, stay safe, stay healthy, and most importantly, stay tuned.
You're listening to the Conservative Crusader.